Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone today. You excited that we have another beautiful day to worship our Lord? Awesome. I'm glad that you guys were able to make it out. Apparently, I learned this morning that there's a big storm coming through. This is what I get for not watching the weather channel or even looking at this app I have on my phone. But I'm glad that you guys were able to make it. I know it's a small crowd today, but we're excited to see you. Everyone have a good Thanksgiving? Yes, I had a great Thanksgiving. I did a lot of fun things. My wife cooked so much food, I don't even think we made a dent in it. And if you guys don't know, Rachel is a great cook. Best cook I know. I had the in-laws in. We had a lot of fun. We watched Ohio State trounce on Michigan. They were all very, very happy. Did some Black Friday shopping. One of the things I want to say about the Black Friday shopping is I noticed that everybody was very civil that I saw. I always read horror stories about Black Friday shopping. So glad to see that some of my faith in humanity was restored this last few days. What I want to talk about today is a continuation of what I talked about last week. And I think this is a perfect week to do this because I want to talk about prayer and thanksgiving. Because you really can't talk about one without the other, right? And so, to get this started, I got to turn this on. What are you thankful for? Do you pray for what you're thankful for? I'm really thankful for my family. I'm thankful for everything that I get to do, and I'm thankful for everything that they do for me. I'm thankful for you guys. I am thankful, but most of all, I am thankful for God. Can I get an amen of that? Amen. We have so much to be thankful for when it comes to God. What does it mean to be thankful? Well, I want to talk about thankfulness in the context of the Bible. In the context of the Bible, thankfulness comes from two words, and that is, they're Greek words, and I'm not going to talk about the Greek because I don't want to try to. But it basically comes from the words grace and confession, or to acknowledge. So you acknowledge your grace to God. In the NASV, it is found 169 times. It's used in 162 verses. And it is a key component in many of the gospel writers, especially Paul, who used it more than 40 times in his epistles, 7, and the small book of Colossians alone. So we see that thankfulness is something that is very, very important to the writers of the Old and New Testament. As if you heard at the very beginning, the first verse I had was Psalm 100, and the last one we read was 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 18. You will see how important that thankfulness is in those verses. So what does it mean, thankfulness? It means it is a mental and or verbal expression of one's acknowledgement and appreciation of God's person, His grace, His blessings, and sovereign work in one's life and in the world. So you acknowledge how much you appreciate God. Now a lot of you probably acknowledge it differently. In the context of the Bible, I would say this is a very, very good definition. But outside the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean this. For example, we celebrated Thanksgiving last week, and why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? We celebrate Thanksgiving to honor an event that happened 400 years ago? About 400 years ago. And where the pilgrims and the Native Americans got together to prepare for the coming winter and basically set aside their differences. And so I think that is a very good reason to celebrate Thanksgiving, because it's kind of like setting aside your differences, coming together for peace, and eating a hearty meal, and then hopefully not destroying each other in the next two shopping days. However, in the context of God, which is mostly where I want to focus on, this is the definition that we're looking at. We want to be thankful to God in every single thing that He does it. So how are we thankful? Well, The verse I had Dustin read is a very good, clear indication on how we should be thankful. And he said three things in verse and three verses. The first one is verse 16. Rejoice always. Those are the only two things written in verse 16. Rejoice always. Second thing he says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Ceasing means don't stop. Okay? Kind of goes with that always point. And the third thing he says is, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So these three things are very, very important to us, especially when it comes to being thankful. Paul here writes three directions for us. And these three directions are continuous actions. That means they are always happening. Doesn't that sound great? Always rejoice. Okay, God. Always pray. Okay, God. Always give thanks. Okay, God. I think I can do that. He's not saying I think you should do it. He's saying you should do this. You are a Christian. You need to continue to do these things. And Paul writes this. These are Paul's final instructions to the church at Thessalonica. However, he's telling this to all Christians. So even though Paul is saying this to one group, every Christian should be doing this. Why should they be doing this? Because it reflects our Christian attitude. Right? It's a perfect example of our Christian attitude. What does Jesus say the two most important things are for a person to do? Love God, love your neighbor. Two most important things to do. It sounds simple, right? It sounds simple. Is it easy? No. And the reason I think it is not easy is because of your attitude. Well, by your, I mean our attitude. It's not easy because of our attitude. It's our attitude isn't reflecting what God is telling us to do. So I think if you want to be able to reach that love God and love your neighbor as yourself, you need to change your attitude. And this is the perfect way to change your attitude. Always pray. Always rejoice. Always give thanks. And it sounds good, right? Would anybody disagree with this? Does anybody think this sounds bad? No. It sounds beautiful. I think it sounds like something it should be in the Beatitudes. It sounds right. There's nothing wrong about it. It's definitely biblical. I mean, Paul writes it. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. It's practical. It's helpful to us, not even just as Christians, but also as human beings. It's spiritual. It's godly. It's canonical. Canonical means it's found in the books of the Bible. It's also non-canonical. You will find it outside of the books of the Bible. It's heavenly. It's Christian. It sounds like all these things. Right? There's always a but, isn't there? There's always a but. Does it work in theory? Are you always praying? I want you to be honest with yourself. And you can answer. Are you always praying? Are you always rejoicing? Are you always giving thanks? If you are, I want to know your secret. Tell me your secret. Because I am not. I do not have this figured out. I can say, everything about this sounds great, but I don't do it. If someone knows how to do it, please know me, please tell me how to do it. You know why it doesn't work for me? Well, I rationalize it. I say, it's because of life. I'm just too busy. I have so many things going on that I think I have to do. Right? You got kids, you got family, you got work. Everything is going on all the time. How can I always rejoice? How can I always pray? How can I always be thankful? It just doesn't seem possible. But it is. It is possible because of my attitude. My attitude's not in the right place. So how do I get my attitude in the right place? By focusing on Christ and by focusing on God. So God, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. And there's all of creation to explain all the things we have to be thankful for. So I don't have enough time today, and I'm sure you guys want to get home sometime in the next century. So I'm just going to hit on what I think are five objects of God things. And these are all related. They all go hand in hand. And these are the things I think you have the greatest need to be thankful for. And that is, first, the redemption. That's the biggest one, the redemption, that God has redeemed us through the blood of Christ. Isn't that an awesome gift? And that is probably one of the most important things that we have to be thankful for. And so when we go to God in prayer, we constantly need to say, thank you, God, for redeeming me. And because you have delivered me from sin. What are the wages of sin? Death. The wages of sin are death. And so because God has redeemed us, we are now delivered from sin, and we are transferred from death to eternal life. So He transfers us to His kingdom. And because this is one we talked about today in Bible class, but we've also been qualified to share in that inheritance. I love reading about Paul. I love reading about Peter and James and John and Matthew and Bartholomew and Philip and Thomas and everyone else, all and David and Solomon and Adam. And, I'd be here all day trying to name those names, especially at the top of my head. But we put these people on a pedestal, right? We think because they were in the Bible, they were great people. And they wrote some great things. But we get to share in that same inheritance that they do. Because like them, especially the New Testament, we've also been redeemed and delivered and transferred. And we've also been sanctified. God has made us holy. It doesn't seem like John Paul is holy. Does that just seem wrong to you? Huh? Set apart. God has set me apart. And these are great things to be thankful. But there are also other things we have to be thankful. And I think that these are much simpler things to be thankful for. Because first and foremost, it honors God. Remember last week when we talked about the Lord's Prayer? What's the first thing we say in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven. And that one statement alone recognizes His existence. And that He is the one that we have to be thankful for. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, For it is all for your sake, so that it, as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Everything we have is because of God. Everything we are is because of God. There is no greater object or person or thing in the world to give thanks than there is God. But also, we should give thanks because if you need a reason, because we're very good at being sheep. Scripture commands it. God commands it. He says, you should be thankful. Just like He says, when you give, you should be cheerful. As we saw in 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. In Psalm 104, enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Paraphrasing. In His courts with praise. Scripture commands you to be thankful. Be happy. Be cheerful. Be thankful. But also, because of what it does, what it means by not doing it, by not giving thanks, it dishonors God. It leads to a life of dependence on self and man. Most of you in here raise children, right? And all of you teach your children to be thankful. Why? Because you don't want them to be entitled brats. I don't know if I can say that word, but I did, but we're going with it. We don't want them to be entitled. We want them to appreciate what they have. In the same way, these are the same reasons we are thankful to God. So we can be better people, but also so it can encourage our faith. As the writer of Hebrews says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no roots of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by in many become defiled. Alright, so, be thankful. Scripture commands it. It honors God. We have a lot of reasons to be thankful to God. So when is a good time to be thankful? Very, very clearly, when you pray. When do we pray? All the time. So, by that, when is a good time to be thankful? All the time. There's never a wrong time to be thankful. When you're suffering, be thankful. Do you want to know why you need to be, why you should be thankful even in your trials? Because it might lead to something better. I'm going to share with you something I shared on Wednesday night if you weren't here. There are two dates. Ooh, I almost fell that time. There are two dates to me that I am very, very thankful for. One of them is August 11th, 2017. The other one is May 28th, 2018. And I'm very, very thankful for those two dates. August 11th, 2017 was a terrible day. It was a terrible day. I hated it. I still hate it. But without that day happening, there's no way that May 28th, 2018 would happen. There's no way. And so I am thankful for that terrible thing to happen because of that, something much better happened. So you have to also be thankful for the good and the bad. Make the most of every opportunity. Some things I want you to consider in addition to that is what Thanksgiving is not. Like I said last week, there's a wrong way to pray. There's also a wrong way to give thanks. Thanksgiving is not selfishness. It's not pride. It's not self-trust. Very, very clearly, it's not about you. Being thankful is not about you. It's about the person or object to what you're thankful for. In that case, for us as Christians, giving thanks is about God. It's not about refusal. It's not about criticism. It's not about complaining. It's not about pettiness. It's about the object to which you're giving thanks. And for us, that is always and always will be God. So, I have a Thanksgiving treat for you. I'm actually going to finish early today. I feel like this was an important message to say, but there wasn't a whole lot I had to say about it. So about 18 minutes was good. So I want to leave you some final thoughts. And I encourage you to rush home and be safe from the weather. And that is this attitude of thankfulness. Yes, it's not easy to always rejoice. It's not easy to always pray. It's not easy to always be thankful for everything. Because we are humans, we are petty. We are proudful. But there are ways to encourage that. And the first one is, you need to live in the Word and in the Spirit. You need to live in God. And God needs to live in you. But the second thing that you need to do is you need to encourage one another. You need to exhort one another, as he says in Hebrews chapter 3. We need to constantly be helping one another. And that's why we offer this invitation. It's why we offer, say, there's something you need. There's something we can do. We want you to come forward. So if there is something that we can do, let me help you. Let the elders help you. And we will proudly do what we can. Thank you for your time. If there's something we can do, please come and stand as we sing.